Hey, FedEds, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon, otherwise known as Luchador El Gringo. I am joined, as always, with your regular host, Logan. Logan, the tobacco Jesus. I don't even know when the last time it is we did a show together, Logan. When was the last time we did a show together?
It's been a while. Did you know that my luchador name would be Liano?
It'd be what?
I'm just going off Sam's website. I'm doing the luchador name generator, and it'd be Liano. That's what it says.
I don't even, my Espanol is not good enough to know what that means. We are joined, of course, by our guest, Sam Lacia. Sam, what exactly is Logan spouting? I don't know what that means. What does that mean? What does that name generator mean?
If you go to Lacia Tobacco, it's actually lacia-tobacco.com. If you go to the luchador page, you can type in your name and it'll give you your luchador name.
Well, there you go. So we're broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, on podcast, on iTunes, on any device that connects to the internet. Thanks very much for tuning in, regardless of where you are in the world, from Norway to Belgium to Germany, wherever you're stationed, wherever you're listening, we appreciate you tuning in. As I said, we're joined by Sam Lacia of Lacia Tobacco. Sam, right off the get-go, one of the cool things we noticed about the new packaging, and I had the opportunity to review the new Luchador El Gringo, which was a good cigar. Obviously, huge tie into Mexican wrestling, and we've got like a million questions around Mexican wrestling. So, do you want to kind of give us a little bit of a primer on sort of what the inspiration was for that cigar?
Wow, did that get clear since he muted? You know, I was always a wrestling fan. Grew up. I mean, I'm a product of the '80s, so wrestling was a big part of. You know, what I was interested in, I guess. And when I was making the cigar, I was playing around with Mexican San Andreas Maduro. So it was kind of a no-brainer. There was really no plan B. It was going to be Luchador. I'm not necessarily a huge, you know, Lucha Libre fan, but I mean, I certainly love Luchadors, but it's not my... I like wrestling in general, so I also like Luchadors, but I wouldn't call myself a luchador fanatic, as there are some, you know, there's categories of everything. I certainly, luchadors are high flying and super exciting to watch. But it was just an easy tie-in for me. It was something that I was interested in.
I mean, I was going to wear the luchador mask because, you know, same thing. I'm a big fan, but I'm not an aficionado of Mexican wrestling. I think, you know, if you're a certain age, you grew up with the squared circle, you grew up with the awesome high-flying wrestling, you know, the antics of wrestlers. And, of course, I've got a luchador mask. I was going to wear it, but luchadors don't wear glasses and I don't have contacts. So that's not going to work. That's just not going to work. So let's...
Not everyone can be a luchador, my friend.
Not everyone can be a luchador. So let's hop into our first question here. We've got a question from Bob Dog. Bob Dog's a show regular. Bob Dog wants to know, he says he loves wrestling-themed names, and he's wondering, obviously, he wanted to know what your experience was with the squared circle. What do you like about Mexican wrestling?
Well, again, I kind of answered that. I just like, you know, wrestling in general. I don't know what... Because, like, I'm not a huge UFC fan. I mean, I liked boxing, you know, like, again, product of the 80s and 90s. You know, Mike Tyson was the man, and you know, but boxing's not you know, that popular anymore, and I don't really follow it so much. But wrestling, I don't know. I just dig it. It's fun. It's funny. I've followed these characters, these wrestlers, you know, since they've been in the business, and some of them obviously still are. And I don't know, I just I can't explain why I like it. I just do. It's entertaining. It's
like soap opera for men.
It is, and sometimes, you know, it can get cheesy and all that, but I don't know. I mean, these guys are incredible athletes. They're putting their bodies on the line every day. It's to say it's fake, I mean, the outcomes may be predetermined, but I wouldn't call anything they do necessarily you know, fake. They, you know, they're getting beat up a lot. I've had the opportunity of taking my taking some bumps myself. So, yeah, you feel it. You feel it. It's not like pillow fighting.
Yeah, I don't want a guy jumping off the third ring rope and launching himself on me, regardless of whether it's
the third ring rope. I don't think I've ever heard that before. The third ring rope.
Third ring rope, yeah, it's top rope.
Well, otherwise known as the top rope. I never heard the third ring rope.
Third ring rope. So let's talk
about
the
Canadian.
It's totally a Canadianism, absolutely.
And wrestling and hockey is like the only thing that exists in Canada.
Yeah, it's a long, cold winter, man. We got to keep ourselves entertained. So, you know, like back in the day, wrestling and hockey, it was like the main source of entertainment.
And some of the best wrestlers have come out of Canada. I mean, the Hart Foundation, he had like the dungeon or whatever in Canada, and you know, some of the best technical wrestlers in the business have come out of Canada. I don't think people realize what a huge market wrestling is. It's second to hockey.
And so does Nickelback.
Oh wow! Right, thanks for ruining it, Boris.
That killed our buzz. Let's move on. So let's talk about the Lucha del Gringo, because I did a review and I did the Frog Splash, which is the 4.5x70, which is a very unusual patola. You don't typically see a short patola in such a large ring gauge, but you've got the chin music, which is this.
Where have I heard that before?
That's what?
No, that wasn't even. That's what she said. It's just you know, the whole nub thing. I mean, I've certainly made short fat cigars before. It's not new to me.
But I mean, in the industry, you typically when you see a fat ring gauge cigar, it's always like a 6x70 or 7x70. You don't see a short cigar. So I think in a lot of ways,
Studio Tobacco, or not Studio Tobacco, but like some of the Studio Tobacco stuff, like the nubs and stuff.
Yeah,
maximum ring gauge is 64.
The nub was the biggest nub was a 66, 4x66.
4x66 Maduro.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
So I heard. I know a little bit about that brand.
Yeah, just a little.
Just maybe. Come across it. But I did the 470 because I kept getting asked to make a 70 ring, and I didn't really want to. So playing around, I did a flat press of a 4.5x70. And in doing so, it made the height or the height of the cigar is actually shorter than a 60 ring. So it's a little more mouth friendly, if you will. It's not as big, you know? So I was really excited about it. I liked it a lot. And I thought it would be a great size because, you know, people like a big ring gauge. And certainly the ones that don't, but maybe like a 60, this is still, you know, it's right up the alley. It's a ton of tobacco. It smokes, you know, you're going to dedicate a good hour and a half to this thing. And it's, you know, I love it. I love the name. I love everything about it. It's truthfully the only size that you can, that exists. That's 4.5x70 is in the Luchador Frog Splash. That's it.
I mean, within the range, what would you say your favorite vitola is?
Well, it varies by brand typically. In the Luchador El Gringo, which is I think what we're talking about, that's where the Frog Splash is in. I like the Squared Circle. It's a beautiful shape, and it's a true box press pyramid torpedo, which was oddly enough one of the most difficult sizes I've ever tried to get made at a factory. I didn't think it would be so difficult. It doesn't seem all that difficult. It doesn't sound all that difficult, but getting the box press correct on a tapered cigar, you know, just it requires some things a little different. So I had to get special molds made, and I had to get special box press design because it needed to be squared. The cigar is called the Squared Circle, which is, you know, another nickname for a wrestling ring. Again, I don't know where it came from, but it's a great name. And since the cigar is both squared and round at the torpedo, it's, you know, it is a squared circle, you know, in itself. But I really enjoy that size. You know, I've been a cigar smoker, you know, since high school, and, you know, I used to, you know, collect cigars, and I was, you know, a big hobbyist. And, you know, one of my favorite cigars to come out was the Añejo. Every year they would do the Añejo, and the Shark was definitely my favorite, as it is, you know, many others. So the El Gringo squared circle is, in a sense, my version, at least, of the shape of the Shark.
Taking it all the way back to your La Silla Black, which at the time was a bit sort of evolutionary in the market, bringing out fire-cured tobacco, and now, you know, we've got a couple different brands in the market with fire-cured tobacco. Do you feel that was sort of a new thing for the market, for like, because at the time it was something very new in the cigar market? Nobody was doing that. You did it, and now all of a sudden we've got multiple different companies doing it. Where do you think that is going to be going in the future? Like, you know, what do you think the next evolution is?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm working on one personally. I'm working on the next evolution of something very unique in our industry. I hope to, it'll be released by January, or I mean, I'm sorry, by June. God, I wish it was January. it's something that, there's a lot of, BS in this industry sometimes. But I literally have been working on this cigar for 3 years, and finally have, spent a lot of time in developing it, correctly, and what I want and what I want to do. And I'm going to release it, in June, and hopefully sooner if I can get everything ready by then. But I can't give out too much information on it. I mean, I want to, because I'm super stoked about it, and there are people that know what I'm talking about. It hasn't been a huge top secret project, but look, you'll hear about it. It's going to be different. I think in this industry, you can certainly be different with your packaging, with your band, your name, and the theme of the cigar. With this particular project, it's different with the tobacco, with even the look of it. It's truly different, innovative, if you will, and it's probably the most. It's the most exciting project I've ever worked on, and I've worked on some. I've been fortunate to work on some really awesome projects in the past, and you know, maybe I'm always going to be biased and say my next project is the coolest project. But even compared to anything I've done even recently, this is so different. It's so unique, and I think the industry's gonna go nuts for it. I really do.
So I mean, if it's different on the tobacco side. I mean, there's only a finite amount of tobacco in the world, and different, you know, different types and strains and et cetera. Like, what is it? Like, I mean, is it something we've never heard of? I mean,
no, not at all. Not at all. It's not like with the CAO, you know, Amazon Basin. I mean, that was a truly unique tobacco. Very cool. Very neat process.
What a bad cigar.
No,
it's interesting.
Well, and that's what it's supposed to be, you know. I thought that cigar was perfect for what it was, and it's sold out because it's a limited. It was a limited amount of tobacco, but what this is not necessarily a revolution of tobaccos you've never heard of. Let it go.
Just spill it, man. Like, let me ask you a question. Here's a question. So you went from working for the man. Had a hiatus working for yourself, and now you're working, you know, with, well, I have a question about working with Michael Giannini, but now you're now working for a big company again. How was that from going from the start of La Silla Tobacco to now being kind of purchased and under the general umbrella? How has that changed your approach? Because, I mean, it seems like you're releasing less cigars, which I would have figured you would release more because you had more resources, you know, more access to tobacco, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, tell me from your experience, I think it's been a little over a year. How's that been?
Well, a few things. For one, I actually, contrary to what you may have read, I actually didn't sell my brand. I own it 100%.
Really?
100%. I have not given out a single fraction of a percent of Lacia tobacco. So
okay.
I'm the owner. General Cigar licenses it from me. They
Got
sell it.
It. Okay.
They distribute it. And I'm also fortunate that I get to be I'm an employee of General Cigar.
A salaried employee, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah,
that
yeah. So
well.
it really did.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
It was a beautiful situation for me. And you know, so you know, people that don't necessarily know that I've heard a thousand things about how I sold the brand. And I'm not saying I wouldn't one day, but I didn't. I still have too much to do. But the cool thing about being with General Cigar is all the things that you know I was unaware of, and you know I had a Logan. If you could mute your mic, because you've got a ton of background noise.
Me?
Yeah. When you mute it, it gets quiet. Perfect. Anyway, I mean, you obviously don't mute it when you want to ask me a question. It's really loud where you are for some reason. I wasn't excited about the fact that when I heard General was interested in bringing me on board. It's not a path I thought that I wanted to take. I was in talks with a lot of different people doing, trying to do a lot of different situations. And in talking with General, I became very excited, you know, the amount of tobacco that they have on hand, the amount of things that they do just in the experimental realm of things, you know, people can't afford to do those things. The amount of tobacco that is on hand, that is in aging, that is incredibly consistent because of the time that's in aging. Again, a lot of companies, even fairly large cigar companies, cannot afford to do that. I have access to tobacco now that that no one outside of General has access to. And, you know, I certainly didn't have, I had no shortage of tobacco to choose from before. I have got some great relationships with these people in the industry, and I mean, I've been doing this for 13 years. You meet a few people and you get some friends. There wasn't any tobacco that I couldn't get my hands on per se. But General grows tobacco and owns tobacco that they don't sell. They're not a seller of tobacco to begin with. They're kind of tobacco hoarders, and I took a picture even a few weeks ago, the last time I was at the factory, of what 2 million pounds of tobacco looks like. And that was just one of three rooms. And that doesn't even count the freezers and some of the other stuff, or, you know, even the tobacco and pilones. This is just tobacco and aging. So it's really amazing. And that's probably what excites me the most. I still have, you know, so much to learn. And I hope I always say that. I hope I always have so much to learn. But you know, I'm blown away with the things that the factory in Honduras, Hotza, it's called, is doing. It's amazing. It's really I've been to many factories. I've had cigars made in many factories. I've been an employee of a company that had their own factory, their own farm. So I mean, it's none of that's new to me. But it's really amazing to see the size, the passion, and what their thoughts are for the future of tobacco. So it's people don't see that side in General, you know, and I get to see that side, and that's probably the coolest. I that needs to come to light somehow, and I think if you were to come down to the factory with me, you'd be on board with what's going on with General big time. You really would. You'd be, if you're not a fan if you're a fan of tobacco, if you're a fan of cigars, you would be really amazed at the amount of passion and excitement that goes on down there.
Yeah. Just a reminder to audience, you are tuned in to Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world. We broadcast on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Regardless of where you're tuned in the world, we appreciate you tuning in. Logan, sir, I cut you off there. Go ahead.
No. Is my mic better? I think I fixed the problem.
Yeah, it's much better now, buddy.
Much better.
Okay, because you still got an echo, John. But anyways, we're going to work through it. So I did not realize you licensed it and you're getting a salary. So however, whoever your lawyer was, please give him a slap on the ass for me because he did a very good job because that doesn't normally happen.
Well, I've been through this before. So I had come through with, being in a legal battle for 2.5 years, you learn something. It's funny when... if you know anyone that's gone through a surgery or some disease, they have become the expert of that, and, because they have it. And
right.
When you go through the battle that I went through, you certainly learn a few things along the way. And there's certain things that I certainly wouldn't do. They were deal breakers. And in the past, I probably didn't have any deal breakers,
Right. Makes sense. So, with that, the way at least the press release was framed, and I think general opinion or general thought, is that, yes, you work for General, but you fall kind of under the umbrella of Foundry with Michael Giannini. And he's your boss. Is that correct or not?
No, not at all. If I'm going to be real open, I don't think General really knew what I was going to bring. I mean, we didn't know each other. I didn't know what they necessarily wanted from me. And I think that, out of the gate, it was just in discussions, this is the creative realm of General is Foundry. So let's put Sam in Foundry so that he can do everything that he wants to do. And it would fit in that world. But in reality, it doesn't fit in that world. That's Michael's world, and it's one that he created, and he's been very successful with, and that's kind of his passion. And for me to come in and it really didn't fit. It didn't. So it's not. I'm not part of Foundry. I never really was. We never really tried either, for what that's worth. So no, Michael was never my boss. I mean, I wouldn't care if he was. I do have a boss, which is, I haven't had one for a little while. So that's had its own challenges. But it's my boss is he's the president of General. It's Alan. Oh my gosh, I was going to say it.
No pressure.
You forgot your boss's name. That happened.
Yeah, I don't know why I was going to say. Alan Rubin.
That's what I was thinking you were trying to say there for a second.
That's what was on my head. It certainly don't work for Alan Rubin. Anyway, but no. Michael and I work together. We've started to that relationship has probably taken a little longer to build, but I think we get along real well, and I certainly value his input and vice versa. But we don't. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you dispelled that because that's the way that I think a lot of people perceive it. And that's the way when the press release came out, it was perceived. And I was always curious because Michael Giannini is very dear to my heart because he's a crazy, crazy man. And I was curious to understand if you were working under him or you had to collaborate with him, how that was going, because I could just imagine.
I think if I didn't have my own thing that kind of existed in the world and he didn't have his own thing that existed in the world, or maybe just one of us didn't, I think we would be fine. I think because we bounce a lot of ideas off each other, when we're together. So we're both very, very different. And I think that's sometimes why our input is interesting. It's kind of always interesting to hear what he would have to say because it's a point of view that most others wouldn't have. So it's always interesting to hear what he has to say and vice versa. But I think we could, if it came down to that, I do. And maybe as, look, I've only had a year under my belt, and let's go back to this because it was kind of funny. You'd expect me to have all these cigars launched. I don't think people realize how long it takes for to make a cigar from concept to a box. So, the El Gringo was something that still what I was working on before the merger, if you will. it takes a lot of time to develop that. What you wait till you see what's coming out for 2016. You'll see what, you know, the influence that the general has had on me, and what's you'll see. You'll see it all in my releases from here on out. What's in store? I'm already working on cigars for 2017. I've got so many things in the hopper. It's kind of overwhelming. It's kind of stressful because, you know, for the first time I've got these deadlines that I've got to hit. Now I'm just one brand in this huge machine instead of just my own world. And, you know, when I get the art done, I get the art done. Or when this, you know, when the blend is, you know, completed or whatever, it gets completed, I launch it when I launch it. But with working with a company, you know, it's like we've got to plug you in so that we can dedicate some time to you. Otherwise, we've got, you know, 1,000 other brands that's going on for next month and the month and the month. So deadlines and things like that have added a stress that I'm a little unfamiliar with. But
do you not work well within deadlines?
Oh, I'm the guy that you want under pressure. If you give me 2 months to study for a test, I'm going to study the night before and I'll do pretty well on it. But I'm not going to look at my notes for the whole time leading up to it. I'm that guy. I'm a crammer. So I could get anything done that I needed to get done. So it's just having a pressure of a timeline is, you know, I mean, I travel like crazy. I was in Orlando Saturday. I got back home for a day on Sunday and I was in Atlanta Monday or Tuesday. So it's hard to, you know, I'm a creative person and I can't necessarily be creative on an airplane. I can't be creative in the hotel room. I've got to, kind of has to come naturally, and so you can't that's when it's hard to do those things. You know, anything I've ever created has been something that's happened very, very slowly and very naturally or
organically.
I was trying to avoid that word, but yeah organically.
I mean, isn't that why some artists take like 10 years between albums? Because you can't just put artistry on a timetable. You can't just say, hey, you need to create the next coolest best thing in the next 6 months, because it doesn't work like that. I mean, I'm not an artistic guy, but that's what I'm
it doesn't about. Work that way. I don't think it works that way with blending, and I don't think it works that way with the marketing part of building a brand or a you know, around a blend. So I mean, both of those worlds are very important. There's some incredible cigars in a humidor, but they're in a, you know, a dumb looking band or a dumb name or a dumb box, so people don't smoke them. And that's the unfortunate part of this world, or you know, this industry, or really any industry, is it's got to look eye appealing or catch you or do something to, you know, make you want to try it. So there's, you know, there's two schools of thought. You've got to be the marketing guy and you've got to be the blend guy, because at the end it's got to be a good cigar. So that's the end and the beginning is the same. You start with the cigar. I mean, that's the most important thing. And everything else just kind of, you know, you hope works.
So I'll just go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question. Is that, you know, I think when you announced that you were not acquired by General, but working under, they were licensing and distributing your brand.
But the word was acquired. They acquired my brands. No one else can distribute them. I mean,
well, it's true. I mean, they have an exclusive right to distribute, but they didn't acquire to buy.
Well, but people think acquiring means buying, and they didn't. They did acquire.
Right.
You know, I can't. Nobody else is going to sell my brands.
I think there's just a lot of negative connotations that's associated with that. You know, someone thinks acquire, and they think, okay, well, now they own it, and Sam's out, and you know, there's all these cigar rumors that start. And
well, let's say this. Let's even say that happened. I am in a position now to bring more to this industry than I ever could have, and that's what I want to do. Those are the things I love. I love this industry. I'm not going to leave it. I mean, this is what I do, and now I have a chance to do more of that. I have a chance to. I actually have you know, funds that can help put together some really cool packaging or some really, you know, exotic tobaccos that I couldn't even, you know, get my hands on before. So, it's such a better world for me. It's such a better world for me. If people are interested and some of, you know, the lines that I've come up with and like the creativity that I bring either with tobacco or with cigars, it's only going to be better now that I actually have resources and funds to do it. Because I don't have somebody over my shoulder telling me I can or can't do something. That's not going on here. And that's not the way this relationship is, but that's really not the way the company is. I think there are people that are good at their positions and they let the people that are good at what they do, just do it. And I don't think, you know, there's not a lot of people barking at Michael telling him he can't do something or Ricky telling him he can't do something. If there's something we want to do, we do it. And there's no one – it it's still a very small company. I don't think people realize that either, and I certainly didn't realize it. You know what I mean? There's nobody that I don't really sit and brainstorm ideas with people at General for Lucia Tobacco. It's the same as it always was. It's right here in this garage is where I come up with shit or stuff. Sorry, we're on AFARTS Radio, folks. Apologize, AFARTS. KCON, shout out to KCON, which doesn't exist anymore, but those were my call letters when I was on AFARTS. I lost my whole train of thought where I was going.
You basically don't have someone bark up your shoulder. You still are the creative brains behind it, and General is a lot smaller than people originally think.
Yeah. I mean, there are a handful of people, like less than a handful, less than five people that do everything as far as the marketing is concerned with the brands. It's not 100 people. It's not these board meetings with people. It's just not that way. I'm not saying it's like this, you know, happy-go-lucky, everybody's family thing. It's not that. It is a corporate, you know, environment. There's just not a lot of people trying to hamper creativity or getting stuff done. I mean, that's certain. The only issues that I've had have been legal. Legal doesn't like this. We've got our own legal department. So, you know, that's been my biggest headache, because you spend all this time coming up with a name or an idea, and, you know, legal doesn't like it because they don't want to get sued. So that's it. I mean, out of anything, that's been the only headache of working with General, and has been the legal part of it. Because being a boutique, people aren't necessarily going to come after you, and if they do, you just shut the brand down. But when you have, you know, a large equity and a large, you know, corporation, you know, they're going to come after you for money. So that the legal side is a little tighter than it would have been just with my trademark attorney.
Which makes sense. I mean, have you seen, after making the switch to General, I know a lot of online chatter, you know, people thought, oh, the brands are going to change, the blends are going to change, which I don't think that's the case. But, you know, having one trade show under your belt now under General, do you have your brands, I mean, no, honestly, did you lose customers because of the General acquisition, quote unquote, or have you actually gained customers because of it?
I would imagine both, maybe, you know, I don't know. I think anyone that maybe was turned off because, you know, Sam's in the corporate world now, which, you know, just to me, it's like, I'm the same guy. Like, if my wife can't change me, how is a corporation going to change me? You know what I mean? Like, I'm who I am. I'm going to do what I'm not going to say I'm like a rebel. I'm not a guy. I'm not that guy, but you know, I'm always just going to be me. I think once they hear the story, maybe they care. But like, look, I mean, if someone's going to turn against me for trying to better me, which is, this is my industry. You know what I could learn about tobacco working for the largest, you know, in the world versus just trying to slowly learn, you know, out of this garage. I want to rule the world in tobacco. And, you know, this is an avenue to do that. You know, it's not about money. I've never really been that guy. Anyone that knows me. So again, if someone's going to go against me because I did that, that's, oh, well, I mean, I've certainly have learned it. I'm not going to make everybody happy. And I just, as long as I'm happy and my family's happy and, you know, I get to do what I do, I'll either earn them back or I won't. I mean, I can't worry about that. I don't really care. I really don't. I mean, I want everyone to like my cigars. I want everyone to smoke my cigars, but that's just not realistic. So if someone's going to jump the train because I bettered my life, you know, good for you, buddy. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't lose sleep over that.
So we've got like 100 audience questions. There's no way we're going to get through them tonight. But first off, Garen Fry just wants to thank you for your service. We talked a little bit about that in the last cigar chat. But of course, you served in the armed forces and the naval forces. Talked a little bit about that in the last one. There's a lot of people, Sam, I think, that see you as an innovator. Like, you know, they see you as pushing the industries, coming out with new products, and I think that's kind of the perception of you in the marketplace. So there's a lot of questions on Cigar Chat regarding, you know, what do you see as the trend? Like, where do you see the cigar market going within the next year, year and a half? What is your take on that?
If this is going to sound totally arrogant, but it's going to go where I take it. I don't look at the industry and try to copy it. Sometimes it happens inadvertently. With the example of the KFC with Jonathan Drew and my black with the fire cured. Sure, mine hit the market. You know, well before the KFC, but he didn't copy that. It was something he was working on that I was working on. We just didn't know. I think we both thought we were going to be the first to, you know, really bring this, and we kind of brought it in together. So, you know, sometimes ideas, you know, interchange, you know, coincidentally. But I mean, for me, the industry is going to go where I take it, because that's what I can control. You know, I mean, it's for me. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm not saying everyone's going to follow what I do. That's not what I meant. I mean, it'd be cool if they did, and it wouldn't be the first if that happened. You know, I would tend to be a trend maker than a follower, anyway, I guess. Not that I always want to try to make crazy shit, stuff. Again, sorry, A-Farts Radio. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly trends with ring gauges and things like that. That's gonna come and go. But as far as where it's going, I mean, again, I have some ideas of where I'm taking it in the next couple of years for sure. But as far as anyone else, I don't know.
I was expecting Logan to jump in there, and he didn't. So, Sam, do you expect to see any dark fire cured tobacco in the Luchador? Is that something you think that'll be coming in the future, or is that off the table?
You know, I think I'm going to be doing a regional Luchador series. There's going to be a California Luchador, only available in the California market. I'm going to do a Texas Luchador, which is only available in the Texas market, and a Pittsburgh Luchador, because that's where I live. Only available in the tri-state area, favorite word. And I think that might be the end of that series. You know, Luchador's had its run, and I hope it continues. And I'm going to want to continue to grow it and promote it, and you know, maybe do some line extensions with it as far as sizes based on demand. Maybe some, you know, variety packs, things like that. But I'm working on other things now. So this year I'll launch 3 new Luchadors, but only in small, you know, they're not going to be limited in quantity, but they'll be limited to the places where they're available. And I think that might be, you know, that's all I have in my head for Luchador for now. You know, I've got so many other things going on for new stuff that I think Luchador's had its run, if you will.
I think you already touched on this, but there's a bunch of questions, obviously, and I think you've touched on a lot of, you know, the acquisition by General. Do you feel being under General puts you under more pressure, or do you feel, because you've already talked about the benefits of being under General, and I think there's, you know, you've talked about the ability to get tobaccos you weren't able to get before, but do you feel that there's more pressure under you being under General or less pressure being under General? Because I know a lot of, you know, business owners drive themselves a lot harder than any boss could possibly drive them.
You know, a wise person, you know, once told me that when you get rid of one sense of stress in your life, it's replaced by another. My stress or my pressure is different than it was, but it's still pressure and, you know, stress. When every single box sold is food on my table, it's different. That's a stress that you can't imagine. Now that I have, you know, a steady source of income, and I've got, you know, now the funding resources for marketing, advertising and more tobacco, because everything I made just kind of went back into buying more cigars. I didn't, you know, it was tough sledding. But now I've got to succeed in this world. I'm now competing in my own house with, you know, brands like Cohiba and Macanudo and CAO and Partagas and Punch. And, you know, these are huge brands. And I didn't realize how big they were until I, you know, came over here as well. They're huge brands. When they do a new extension or a new brand, the amount that they sell is ridiculous. So, you know, my goal is I want to be at the top of the heap here at General Cigar, and I certainly have a long way to go. But why would I not want to be in that world? I mean, that's why I do things, and that's, you know, that's my new stress and my new challenge is to bring exciting you know, cigars to the market that the retailers want to buy, that the consumers want to buy, and that the salesmen are excited about selling. And you know, it's just a different stress, you know. But you know, man, everybody's got stress in their life. It's just channeled differently, and it comes from different areas. And like I said, when one is gone, another one will soonly take its place. So it's certainly not any easier than it was. Life is what you make it, man. You know.
You're tuned in to Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com, broadcast on Armed Forces Radio Network around the world, wherever you are tuned in. We appreciate you tuning in. Logan, I'm sure you have a ton of questions because Tobacco Jesus, I can just see you sitting back there strategizing, no, thinking up stuff.
No questions. No, I mean, I want to ask, why can't you share about the project you're originally talking about? Is it because the general won't let you? You don't want to? I'm just curious.
No, again, I don't think there's a whole lot of things that General lets me or doesn't let me. Anything that I wouldn't do anyway. My concern is it's such a unique idea that the fact that I'm not launching it until June would give too many competitors a chance to bring something to market and ruin my splash of it. You know, I don't mind if people make their own versions of it, because I do think that what I'm about to bring to the market, it will create a new category, and I think others will follow suit, and I want them to. I don't want to patent this idea. I just think it loses it. I want people to make one better so that I make one better, or you know, I want, that's just a way for the industry to grow. So I certainly would never want to patent anything in this particular industry. You know, I would want people to copy it to some degree, and I think that just breeds, you know, a better product in the end for everybody. So it's not about, like, I don't really care about secrets and that stuff. I'm pretty, and if you were sitting in this garage, I'd tell you exactly what the heck I'm doing, and I'm right. Smoking one now, and you know, I would give you one. It's just that if this, you know, the fact this is broadcast so much, I put too much time and effort and heart into this that I wouldn't want someone to come out to market and half-ass it and ruin what I've been putting together. So that's the complete honest reason. It's not a it's just to cover my butt. I'm so excited about it that I think others will too, that I need to be the first to market on it. You know, I've been doing it long enough, and that's kind of why.
Sam, do you think there's some Emmy aspect to cigar release schedules? You know, like releasing at the IPCPR is kind of the sweet spot of the year, because if you release in January and your cigar is fantastic, by November, when, you know, all the quote-unquote blogging sites are compiling their top 25 list, you know, perhaps they've forgotten about that cigar. Where do you think within the year is the, like, you launching in June, obviously it's going to be right before the Las Vegas IPCPR. Is that the sweet spot for releasing a new cigar?
Well, for me, it was twofold that June, that month, and I'd like to try to get it out sooner if I can. But that's a good window of things that General's not launching that month. I mean, you got to realize these guys. I mean, you know how many brands General launches in a year? You have no idea. You have no idea. I mean, everything's got something going on. I think there was over 100 new, you know, like, facings or brands or front marks, however you want to call that. You know, I think it was 120 that General brought to market, you know, last year. I have just one of those. So part of that was that month fit in well for me. And the other is really the timing on getting all this done. You know, it's one thing to have the cigar, you know, kind of the blend right. Well, you know, I've got to get all the packaging. I got to get the marketing materials. It takes time to print all that stuff and to get it all ready, and then to get it from, you know, Honduras or Nicaragua to Miami and then back to the warehouse. I mean, there's so much time involved in that, you know, June made the most sense to get all that stuff done. So there was certainly some strategy with the show coming up. You know, I didn't launch it in October, which, if anything, that's the worst time to probably launch something, unless it's some holiday thing. But I hate launching cigars at the show. I think it's the worst time to launch a cigar at the show. I would never want to launch a cigar at the show, ever. The only reason I launched Luchador this year was because of the timing. Everything, it took me forever to get everything done right. And so I wanted it to launch, you know, in April or whatever, but I wasn't ready. I barely had... I mean, really, even the boxes I had on the shelf at the show were still sample boxes. So, I think launching at the show is dumb. I think retailers can only bring in so much product. You know, I'd rather launch in the springtime and do my homework. And you know, I take a lot of pride and I put everything I have into, you know, I like to say everything I do. So I feel that if I make a good product and people smoke it and buy it and want to continue to buy it, then I'll generate enough buzz from the retailers to want to come see me because of what the work I've already done for them. If I'm launching it at the show, I'm saying, "Hey, I've got the best thing in the world. Now go sell it." You know, it's a different animal. I want the customers to be more confident when they see me at the show, knowing that it's already been in the market and it's doing very well. I mean, that's my strategy anyway.
We've got time for a couple different audience questions before we wrap up the Armed Forces Radio Network segment. We've got an interesting question from Sean Tucker. Sean wants to know, how much of your time is typically spent out of country working on your blends?
Again, it's not like it's some amount of time that's a magic number. I get down there a lot. I've been to the DR. Well, I mean, since January, I've been to 34 states and four countries, and a lot of those I've been to multiple times. Like I've been to the DR four times this year. I've been to Nicaragua four times and Honduras four times. Honduras, Nicaragua five times, Honduras four times. But you know, it's as often as I need to get down there. I don't go unless I have to go. I mean, even though I enjoy going down there, but I don't just schedule that in as a week. I feel like getting out of the country. I've got a lot to do when I schedule that, and it's a very productive, you know, week or so. And it's always shorter than it needs to be because when I'm down there, I'm putting in 15-hour days, and I'm really grinding and having. That's some of the most fun I have is when I'm down there. So I could be down there for months on time if I really wanted to, but I've got so many other things that I have to do and a family as well. So. It's just not conceivable. But there's no magic number. I mean, there might be a year down the road where I'm down there once. I doubt that. But you should get down there, you know, four or five times a year for sure.
Let me ask a quick question. Is the general, the STG factory is in Esteli, right? Isn't it when you pull in and go around where they have the rock embankment and it's like the first factory on the right when you pull into Esteli? Is that the factory you're talking about?
Yeah, that used to be the CAO factory, which obviously in turn was the Tarano factory. It's a relatively new facility. Beautiful.
It looks really nice. I've never been there, but I know where it is.
It's really nice. That's where every, you know, and then there's a couple other factories they use too, but that's the main factory in Esteli. And then there's a huge, huge factory in Honduras as well.
One of the things to comment on, Sam, and I, as a guy who does a lot of pairing, and obviously I have a pairing show, I appreciate that on your website you have suggested or recommended pairings. And Marty Messina wants to know, you know, what do you like to pair for a beverage? What's your go-to? And then and maybe talk a little bit about pairing with the Luchador El Gringo. Bring it back.
I don't think I ever pair cigars and a beverage purposely. I just smoke so many cigars and I'm usually drinking something that every once in a while it's like, hey, those are really good together. And you just try to remember that. So, you know, even I have tequila, like a good sipping tequila. I use the Question Tequila. It's a good friend of mine who makes an incredible tequila. I have some back there on the bar. I said, well, hey, we got to try it with tequila. So that was one I kind of forced, so to speak. But wow, did it pair well, because it's a good sipping tequila. Like, your taste buds kind of stood up on end. And, you know, it really brought out, like, the hot pepper spice in the luchador. So, you know, I'm like, here I was going to do it as a, you know, like, yeah, you got to have tequila with a Mexican, with a, you know, Mexican cigar. And it actually worked. So it, but you know, it really depends. Like, right now I am smoking a secret little cigar here. And I've had this for the first time. This is 1792. It's a bourbon. It's really tasty. I've never had it before. These are going superb. So I certainly prefer a dark spirit with a cigar. I'm not much of a vodka or gin guy. I mean, if it's got a proof, I will drink it. But as far as pairing cigars, it varies, man. You know, I think that, like, I think it varies too based on what, I mean, everyone's got personal taste. I find, like, a Cameroon wrapper, like the white, which is an African sun grown, is a cigar that kind of, it smokes good with anything you drink. It's good with a beer. It's good with a light beer, a craft beer. It's good with a coffee. It's good with a whiskey. But certain cigars, you know, it take over the palate a little bit too much, you know, or the spirit takes over the palate and the cigar's no good. Like a, you know, like a Coors Light and, you know, like a heavy smoke, you know, it's like, ugh, you know, when you taste that cigar, it's not even good because of what it did to your palate. So, oddly enough, I think a Cameroon or my white it smokes well with everything, but maybe that's because I like that particular wrapper. So, it's too subjective. You know, I don't, there's no rules, man. I mean, I like Dr. Pepper with stuff. I'm like the last snob on the world. I kind of, that's probably my least favorite aspect of my business, are the people that are the experts and the snobs, and you got to do it this way and you got to do it that way. And I believe you got to do whatever you can to enjoy it. I don't think you should, you know, the only rules I think in cigar smoking is how you cut it, just so you don't ruin it, so it doesn't unravel. And there's certainly a way to light it so that the whole thing is lit so it burns right. You know, other than, like, you know, those kind of rules, I don't recommend anyone follow any rules. Smoke what you like, drink what you like with it, and enjoy life, and don't listen to the experts.
There you go, pairing snobs. Smoke what you like, drink what you like, pair what you like. Don't listen to the experts. James Caruso has an interesting question, and I'm not familiar with this festival, but he wants to know if you're doing the Cigar Fest in 2016.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Piece of cake. So I think you talked a little bit about this in 2013 when you were last on the show. You mentioned you came from the beverage industry to the cigar industry. Could you maybe just recap, if it's possible to recap quickly? Garen Fry wants to know what attracted you to the cigar industry.
Same thing that everybody that's listening, except for maybe if my mom's listening, is cigars taste good. I love cigars. And the more you get into it, and, like, you know, you get into the blogs, or you get into the, you know, back when I was smoking, forums were the world, you know, that was, you know, pre-Facebook and everything. And you create this hobby and you create this community. And whenever you get to, you know, go to a factory, that opens your, you know, now the community gets a little bit bigger and your eyes are a little bit bigger and the hobby gets a little stronger. And so I think it was just a transition. When I was in the liquor industry, I used to trade, you know, booze for all the cigars I couldn't afford. And then I would always bring in the cigars and do cigar, you know, dinners and stuff with whatever I was trying to sell or whatever market at that time. It was kind of a no-brainer. And this is an industry I wanted to be in. I thought I could do it. I thought I could. I felt very confident that I could do what I'm doing right now. And I have a long way to go, an incredible long way to go. But I'm in the right place, and I knew what I wanted, and I did it.
What do you think about the cigars that are on Cigar Aficionado's top? Well, right now they're just doing the top 10. What do you think about the cigars that are on that? Is that correct? I mean, is those the right brands, or should there be other brands? You haven't even looked, have you?
I haven't even looked, man. I don't know. Look, if you're going to believe all of the good ratings, you've got to believe all the bad ones. If someone gives you a 94, then you believe in it, then you got to believe in that, you know, 73 you get. So, I know I make good cigars. I would not put my family's name on something that I didn't feel comfortable and confident about. Everything else is subjective to that. Would I love a 95 rating or what? Who wouldn't? Of course, that'll help my business. That'll help me grow. But I don't get so hung up on it. I don't argue when someone gets a good rating. I'm happy for anyone. I mean, I'm a person that really focuses on what I can control, and I can't control that. And I'm happy for anyone that's on it because it certainly can impact their businesses, and I'm very happy for them. And I'll be grateful for an opportunity that I get one. But I don't rush to look at it. I don't. I'm sure I'll know more about it. I don't really care, though. I really don't care.
We talked a little bit about this before the show started, but Jeff Madre apparently has been watching the video quite carefully. He wants to know if that's a Triumph Spitfire behind you.
Boom. Somebody named it because you guys didn't.
Is it a Corvette? Close enough. It's red.
It's a 78.
So if it breaks down, is it impossible to get parts for?
Actually, no. And in fact, I just moved my toolbox because it was all right there. And because I just put a new starter in it yesterday. No, it's super easy to work on. The entire bonnet lifts up. There's not like a hood. The whole front end lifts up. So you can – it's so easy to work on. And every part's still available for it. It's one of – there's certain classic cars if you're – you know, if people are interested in getting that are worth buying because you will always be able to find parts. And things for this is relatively inexpensive. I think it was – $60. I got it on Amazon. Two days later, it's already in the car. So, I try to do all the work that I can. I've never replaced a starter. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I can figure it out, and I did it, and it fires right up. So,
did you YouTube it? Because I feel like YouTube is like the answer to every question you might have on car parts.
Well, I did, and there wasn't any info that helped me. So much so that I thought, man, I should probably make one because this was a very easy thing to do. I mean, it was 4 bolts, a couple of screws. I mean, it was really no big deal. It was just kind of getting the starter out and then putting it back in there's a lot of things in the way to allow that to happen. But whatever. It's a Spitfire. I love it. I traded an 04 Harley Sportster for it, straight up.
That seems like a pretty good trade to me.
I had a sweet Harley too, so I don't know. I missed the bike. I still have a. You can't see it. There's another bike in the corner.
I see it. Is it purple?
No, that's my kid's bike. I think you see.
Oh yeah, the Huffy. Oh, okay.
Oh no, that's actually a pretty mean little bike. That's not a Huffy.
That's a pretty mean one.
It's got like a lawnmower engine on it. It's a. It's got these huge fat tires. That's a motorcycle.
Okay.
But it's my oldest. And now I have a dual sport, like a dirt bike that's street legal. There's a lot of trails around here.
Has anyone ever said you look like Kid Rock?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You didn't just say that, right?
Yeah.
No, one's ever said that. No one's ever said that.
Ever.
I usually get Chris Rock.
Chris Rock?
Yeah. You're not.
Yeah, no, I don't think you look like. But you do kind of look like Kid Rock.
I thought you were kidding because like when I had the super long hair and I get that all the time. But I haven't had.
Though a little bit.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Well, I'm glad I can make your day.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. Thanks very much, all of our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners, for tuning in. Hope you're having a safe and awesome Christmas time wherever you are stationed in the world.
Or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or That's anything right. else you celebrate.
That's guys, right. Happy Hanukkah, happy holiday Kwanzaa. Season.
Yeah, I got to say a big shout out to my fellow military guys. Enjoy your time. It'll be some of the best years of your life. Stay safe and keep the toilets clean, guys. Keep them clean. That's all I did.
Latrines. Keep them clean.
Well, the Navy didn't have latrines. The Navy had heads.
Oh, yeah. I was never in both. I'm just going off Band of Brothers.
Yeah, I never cleaned the latrine.
We'll be back on Tuesday with, I think our guests are Rick Rodriguez and Ed McKenna. Is that right?
Rick Rodriguez.
Rodriguez on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
That's right.
You have to call him Rick Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Because that's what I call him. He's Logan. Been here. Ricky's been to the crib here. We pulled in this car. We opened the garage. We just pulled into the party. It was awesome.
So we'll be back next Tuesday. Make sure to tune in. And, yeah, thanks very much for tuning in to Cigar Chat.
And
we're fucking back.
We're fucking
now
back.
Now we can cuss.
Yeah, Ricky's a cool cat. I got to... And of course, we're still live. I actually was at the IPCPR. I left the IPCPR. I was in the I was waiting for some god awful long airplane flight. And Ricky walked up and sat down, and we had beers together. It was the coolest experience. Super chill guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, so just so you know, Sam, his cigar, one of the flatheads, was number like 4.
Oh, I knew that only because there was a company email that announced that. So yeah, I did know that. I should have gave him props for that.
You got to think Ricky's a little pissed because he put so much effort into the Pallone, and I feel like, you know, that was like his baby. And, you know, from my perspective, it's like you're going to give love to the flathead, but you're not going to give any love to the Pallone.
There's no way he's thinking too. No, you don't care, man. When it comes down to that, you don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Rating, who gives a shit what cigar it's on?
Yeah. Like,
you're going to sell cigars.
If any of mine were to get that, I wouldn't be mad that it wasn't the other one. You know what I mean? not at all. Not at all.
Knowing people that get pissed about which one it is, the ones that consistently win year after year.
I couldn't possibly name those. No,
I could.
It's very difficult. I'm kidding.
I know.
Yeah.
We won't say who they are. I'm very surprised. Illusion Ultra was like number 6.
Really? That surprises you? The surprise is that Luzion is on the top 10 list.
No, but just that cigar.
You know, I think Sam hit it on the head, though. It sounds like it doesn't really matter what cigar it is.
Oh, I know it doesn't matter. I'm just saying.
It's never the top 25 new cigars of the year.
No, it should be.
Well, that's what you guys do. I mean, it's what they do. Who cares?
Well, maybe we don't do it. We're doing it this year. We're just a little slow on the...
We're just a little behind the eight ball. Matt having a second baby has put an end to getting us organized in a lot of things.
Sam, we didn't ask you about your family, because that's got to be really tough juggle. I mean, you know, I'm kind of in the industry now and kind of doing... I mean, obviously, I'm doing the Cigar Federation thing, and I feel like my hair's on fire every day. I don't know how to juggle all this stuff. How do you do it? How do you juggle a family? How do you juggle a brand?
You just do it, man. I mean, hold on a second. Telling my buddy to stop over. Come on over. Look, you know, you make quality time, you know. I certainly spend an incredible amount of time on the road. I think the people at the airport, you know me more than my family does sometimes. But it's about quality time, you know. I mean, I do a lot when I'm home. It's kid time, and I focus my attention on them. And you know, it's life isn't easy, man. You just gotta make it work. You know, I've always traveled. When I was in the Navy, I was married and I traveled. I was gone at 6 months at a time. And you know, when I was in the liquor business, I traveled. So, you know, I've never really worked behind a desk or worked 9 to 5 to be home every night. So it's kind of been my lifestyle and my family's lifestyle from the beginning. So, you know, it only gets old whenever the balance is shifted, whenever it's like so much traveling back to back to back without much breaks, that's when it can become difficult. And then when I'm home for a ton, you know, it's like, don't you have some place to be? So, you know, there's a fine balance you got to keep.
How old are your kids, man?
My oldest just turned 12, and I have a 9-year-old, my oldest boy, and my daughter's 9, and I have a son who's 8.
Logan, how old is your daughter now?
16 months.
16 months.
She's wild. She's got a little attitude, and I don't like it. She's been shaking the finger saying, no, no, no. I don't like it.
Are there questions that are on the chat room? Because I can't look at the chat room.
Yeah, there's like 100 questions in the chat room. I think 50% of them were regarding being acquired by General, which I think we've really touched on. You know, a good 25% are talking about the Luchador.
Where can I see that?
If you go to the bottom of the Cigar Chat page and you click on the click here to answer questions.
Not in the Hangout.
Not in the Hangout. Yeah, that's where all the weasel fed heads hang out to try and win giveaways.
All right.
Because they're weasels. If you go to shows and Cigar Chat, watch Cigar Chat, there's a link at the bottom of the page which takes you to Google Plus, which has been driving me crazy all day, by the way. And there's a Q&A app in the top right corner of that page, and it has all the questions there. I think one of the interesting questions actually from Garen here, which we don't really talk about on any of the shows, we don't really ask this question. Do you have a recommended or preferred cutting method for your cigars?
Again, that goes back to my rules. I think you're wasting time with worrying about those things.
Whatever works.
I typically bite the tip of my cigar off, and I will never borrow a cutter. I never like to share my cutter when I do have one. I don't care, man. It's just long as it draws. I sometimes I'll V cut it because I've got that cool, you know, steel. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen those. I've got the nice, you know, you got like four options and it's heavy duty cutter. You know, I'll V cut it. I'll double V cut it. I've made the snake eyes and punch. Whatever, man. I don't really care. As long as that cigar draws, is all that matters to me. When people, and I certainly, I'm not trying to offend this question because it was, he just said, what do I prefer? But when people get too deep into, you must use this way or you must use a punch or, you must just enjoy a cigar or don't. You know what I mean? Okay, you got it. So I don't subscribe to any rules to that nature. You just make sure you don't cut it past the cap so it doesn't unravel. That's the rule.
That's the only rule that matters.
That's it.
So you talked a little bit about, obviously, you've got a project that we can't really talk about in too much detail coming out in June, hopefully sooner, which I'm sure we'll get our hands on and, you know, right in 95 just to piss off Cigar Aficionado. Do you find yourself, in terms of planning, you're talking about, you know, thinking about 2017, thinking about 2018, do you find yourself doing more of that now that you're under General planning for the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, totally. I'm anything but a planner. I live for the moment. I kind of have a little spiel about that on my website, about living for the moment, kind of living in the moment. And that's for what it's worth, anything that I ever write or put on, like, a website or on a box of cigars or whether it's a brand or a logo, there's deep reasoning behind it. You know, I don't just do something because it looks cool. I've got a reason for everything and I don't always explain it. There's little nooks and crannies on a box of Luchador that some people may or may not get. Everything has, you know, a purpose or a meaning. Wow, I went around the way to answer that question, but
that was a politician's answer. What's going on?
Really? No, that was actually from the heart, man.
I'm just busting your balls.
I hate a schedule. I don't like to know where I'm going and where I'm going to be in April. I like looking at my calendar and saying, all right, where am I going to be this weekend or this or tomorrow? I'm not. This is Kirk coming in. Say hello, Kirk. What's up, mate? He's here. Help yourself to beer. I got whiskey there too. If you want to try that.
I'll probably have a cold beer. Thanks.
Kirk is one of the bands that utilize my in-house studio here.
Is he Australian?
No. They asked if you were Australian.
Because you said mate. I didn't know.
No, we were just
fancy. Sam, did you say you have an in-house studio in your garage?
Well, yeah, this is, I've got a full PA. I don't know if you could, that's...
No shit.
The PA is like right in there. You can't really see
it. Yeah, no, I can see it.
And he's by one of the speakers there, but yeah, it's a good, the acoustics are incredible in here.
Huh.
Let's give away these cigars, John.
So, all right, email we're giving away some cigars.
Yeah, I still couldn't get into the chat. I don't know if I'm not capable because I'm like on video. And could you bring me some of that 1702? I'm out. Yeah. That shit is good, man. I've never had it before.
Bourbon is going to be top of the list for next recommended pairing, by the sounds of it.
I've never had it before, but I've drank this much already.
In one day.
Tonight, yeah. I cracked it a couple hours ago.
You know what, Sam? We're going to have fun in Las Vegas in July. I can tell already.
Oh, who doesn't?
It's going to be pairing time. So, Logan, how many? What are we
I don't know.
Like
it depends
packs?
On how many cigars she sends. Just email me, Lasia Tobacco, subject line, Logan@CigarFederation.com, full mailing address, and your date of birth. Verify you're old enough. And whenever I figure out what's – and of course your mailing address. And just – I'll send out as many that I can support via the samples that I get that are unknown at this time.
Now, are you doing the booby prize thing, Logan? Because you talked a bit about that. I think it was in the last
I'm actually
show,
working on that.
Extremely entertaining.
I've actually found a place. I don't want to give it away, but because we like to keep secrets. But I found – I used to get stuff printed at Vistaprint. And Vistaprint can fucking blow me. They're so expensive. I found this other place that does magnets. And I can do a sticker magnet with me flipping you off, giving you the bird, and like 1,000 of them for like $150.
So Sam probably has no idea what we're talking about.
But
on the last cigar chat, Logan was talking about the fact that he has to ship out like 10 or 15 boxes every time.
I did the math. I've spent over, just so you know, I've spent over $8,000 this year just shipping out winnings to people.
That's crazy.
So he was talking about...
Write-off.
So he was talking about potentially just randomizing the shipments and potentially throwing one or two quote unquote booby prizes, but not like true booby prizes, but like an actual hilarious, collectible booby prize, like Logan on a magnet flipping you the bird, which you're not just gonna throw in the garbage, right?
I think the ultimate booby prize should be, has to do with boobies. But that's that's just me.
Or it could be me with my shirt off giving you the bird.
No. Not those
no, no
movies.
One wants to see that.
That would be a collectible.
No, no one's going to collect that, bro.
Bet you they do. I'd put it on my fridge.
That's unfortunate. I can't get into the questions. I'm bummed out about that.
I can probably link you.
Why don't you just email them the fucking link, John?
I could probably do that.
I just want to see. For somebody that had some dying question.
I'll get on that right away.
Well, and if anybody's got one, pop it up again. We didn't answer it. I gotta change this jam.
Ring my bell. Who's your favorite band?
No, I'm gonna cut that question off because here's an interesting question. I'm gonna butcher his name. I think it's Jochen or Jochen Conrad. He wants to know when you're gonna show up in Tokyo with your cigars. He says enough traveling to Nicaragua and Honduras. When are you showing up to Tokyo?
I hear that, man. Not soon enough. I've been to Japan. Never been to Tokyo.
Okinawa.
I went to Nagasaki, which they don't really like white people there.
Yeah, they might be carrying a bit of a grudge.
I feel a little bit of a built-up.
I can't imagine why.
It still exists. First time in my life, I sincerely felt discriminated against, and I mean that. I really was.
Are you being serious? Like not a joke?
No. I mean, I was in the military, so we couldn't get a cab. Okay. I couldn't get a cab. I couldn't go in to have a bar. Everything was a private club all of a sudden, and they would kick us out of everywhere. I could not get a beer. I could not get a cab. It was not a fun time at all.
And this was what, 10, 15 years ago?
It was like almost 20 years ago, man.
Almost 20 years? You don't seem that old.
Yeah, I'm old. I just turned 40.
Really?
I did.
Guess how old John is.
Yeah, this is funny. Now I'm wearing my beard, so it kind of skews it, but...
You're wearing it.
Yeah.
28.
if I was not wearing the beard, you'd be like, shit, you're going to be like 24, 25. I'll be turning 41 in January.
Look at that. Look at that. Good for you.
It's all that clean living,
like
rum,
I look
cigars.
Like shit. Well, I'm only 32.
For living under a bridge, you look pretty good.
That's what I'm saying, right? Making a good income, hitting up the... Yeah, no, Logan, it's... I don't think Texas is doing you any favors, brother.
I just quit taking showers.
hey, Kirk, come on. This cat looks like he just woke up. I mean, you got. I mean, I like your style. He likes your style.
Fucking A right, Australian. You know how we roll.
Kirk's name is now the Australian.
He is Australian.
All right. Well, I think we wrapped up all the questions here. And now we're just shooting the breeze to shoot the breeze. Sam, thanks very much for showing up on Cigar Chat. And we're going to make sure it's not another 2 years before we have you on the show again. And we'll make sure to have an interview with you at the IPCPR Las Vegas, because that's what we do here on Cigar Federation. Make sure to tune in on Tuesday. We're going to have Ricky Rodriguez.
Rodriguez,
which is going to be a good show. Ricky's always good times. If you've not checked out the interview at IPCPR with Ricky and Gadu, because Rob and I had a hilarious time. Anyways, thanks very much for tuning in to Cigar Chat, wherever you are in the world. We appreciate you tuning in. Thanks very much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Later.
Later.